You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to Stats and Cone on the Gold Standard Podcast Network. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera. He's Grant Cone. Grant, free agency is here. Happy New Year. It's the first day of the new league year.
Yeah, and they're going to make a really big splash today, right? An enormous, giant move today. I'm excited.
Well, a lot of 49er fans are excited. They're hoping that either Khalil Mack or Joey Bosa is going to find their way to San Francisco. The Chargers need to get under the salary cap. Everybody has to be under the salary cap when the new league year officially starts. That is, I believe, 1 p.m. Pacific time. So the Chargers have to get under the cap. They're like $25 or $28 million over the cap right now. And more than that, they have bonuses that they have to pay to both Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack on the third day of the new league year. That would be Friday. So something is going to happen with these guys very, very soon. And if it does, a lot of people want the Niners to swoop in.
Sure, I understand. I mean, they're big names, and why not? It just seems to me that the Niners just signed two defensive ends. One guy's making $10 million a year. One guy's making $9 million a year. I mean, they're not as good as these two players from the Chargers, but where's the cap space coming from? They would have to restructure a bunch of contracts to make this work. For one defensive end who's 33 or one defensive end who has played not many games the last couple of years. So they could do it. I just don't expect them to, because I don't think it. I mean, look, if you get Khalil Mack, it's always a good move. Spending a bunch of money on Joey Bosa when you already spent a bunch of money on a couple other DNs, it doesn't seem prudent to bring in Bosa in particular.
So I just heard an interview with Matt Barrows on 95.7 The Game just before we went on, and he basically said exactly what you just said, which is essentially they've kind of done their work at the defensive end position already, that he doesn't think it's going to happen. Although he did say everybody that he talks to says, watch out for the 49ers and Joey Bosa. I like this question from Zach Rivera, who says, what signing slash move revives the Super Bowl run energy? I feel like a lot of people want the Niners to make this move for Bosa or Mack because they feel like they need a big name guy to go after. And it's like, yes, yeah, see, we're still making the charge to get to the Super Bowl window. But I don't think that that's necessarily the case. I kind of think what the Niners are doing, which is getting a bunch of, for lack of a better term, Subaru legacies, right? Just a reliable car. Not no frills, not super, good looking, but reliable, can get you where you want to go. And I think they're trying to kind of stock up on those type of guys.
Sure. I mean, what was their plan A coming into the offseason? It seems like to me their plan A was to go to Eric Armstead and to convince him to take a pay cut. I get the feeling the Niners thought they would be successful there, that Armstead would work with them. And I think it sounded like they were negotiating and talks broke down. Mm-hmm. And so now that he's gone and they only have, or they don't even have cap space, it's going to be a post-June 1 release. So they're not even going to have cap space for a while. It seems like they're trying their best to replace him and fortify the defensive line with the little cap space that they have. It doesn't feel like their first choice, their first option of what to do this offseason, but it's what they have to do.
Do you agree with the Armstead move? Because if you go to Armstead with this plan, you have to accept the possibility that, hey, we may not be able to agree. And so they had to be okay with the possibility of cutting Eric Armstead before they ever got into these discussions with him. I agree with that move. I think that Armstead was overpaid. You couldn't rely on him to stay on the field. His pay did not match his production. So I agreed with what the Niners are trying to do with Eric Armstead.
I agree with it as well. It was his cap hit was over $28 million. It's too much for a guy who has plantar fasciitis, has had it the last 2 years. He's going to keep having it. He's coming off a torn meniscus. It's too much. But at the same time, cutting him doesn't necessarily, you know, eradicate the issue. Mm-hmm. Now you have to replace him without much cap space. Not easy. So look, they signed three defensive linemen. I don't know if those three guys together combined are as good as Armstead, but Floyd doesn't miss games. Gross Matos doesn't miss games. Like, these guys are at least available. And if Armstead is out next year for his next team, the Niners will feel pretty good. Plus, they're not done. They have a first-round pick, and I wouldn't be surprised if they use it on a defensive lineman.
Matt McCune. I'm going to go with McCune. YouTube channel member McEwen. Says McCune. There we go. Minus the Armstead drama, the moves have been solid. I agree. I think the Leonard Floyd move is a good move. It's a solid move. He's a dependable player. He hasn't missed a game in 6 years. He's basically averaged 9+ sacks a year for the last 4 years, which is way better than anybody else the Niners have tried to stick across from Nick Bosa recently. Better than Ebukam, better than Cleveland Farrell, better than Chase Young. Name your guy. Leonard Floyd is better than all those guys. So, you know, I think they have made some solid moves, even though they haven't made like the Danielle Hunter, like big splash kind of move.
I think when you look at each move in a vacuum and just really focus on the details of it without looking at the big picture, you can praise all of them. I mean, they didn't really overpay for anyone. They got mm-hmm. good value. They filled needs. But when you look back, it's like, okay, well, why are you so solely focused on your defense? Why? I mean, what about the offense? All you've done on the offense is bring people back. But on defense, it's like, get rid of this defensive coordinator, get rid of this tackle. All these DNs got to go. Like, we got to overhaul this whole thing. Like, why? It's a whole team. It wasn't the defense that lost the Super Bowl. It was the whole team that lost the Super Bowl. And it seems like someone asked what would be a move that would revitalize the Super Bowl run. Like, how about something on the offense? Something new. Something new. It seems like they're going to run it back with the same group on offense, which I know it was a very good offense in the regular season, but I think it got exposed a little bit at the end and was pretty much bad across the board in the Super Bowl, Brock Purdy notwithstanding. So I'd like to see him do something on the offense.
Well, like what, though? What are you going to change? You're not getting rid of Debo. You're not getting rid of Kittle. You're not getting rid of McCaffrey. You're not getting rid of Brock. So, like, what is the change you want to see?
An addition to the offensive line would be nice, but any change. Yeah, that's any fair. Change. I mean,
an offensive line.
It's just crazy how the defense basically plays well for four quarters against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, breaks down at the end, and it's just like, you know what? Total overhaul. The offense really struggled the whole game, and Kyle's like, you know what? That was just a blip. We're a good offense. No changes necessary. Huh. I don't know. I feel like if Andy Reid had a performance like that in the Super Bowl, there would be changes, structural changes, not just personnel to what the Chiefs do on offense, but maybe I'm just wrong.
I agree that the defense played well in the Super Bowl for basically all of it. I mean, damn, we almost had six quarters in the Super Bowl, which would have been insane. The defense was not the problem in the Super Bowl. It wasn't. It was the offensive issues, and it was the decision-making by Kyle Shanahan, the game management. But I don't think you overhauled the offense. I would like, yes, an offensive tackle. I completely agree with you. Nice. I think they're going to get one in the draft. I really do. But other than that, look, this offense is a good offense. We're expecting Brock to be better. The defensive changes, though, are significant. You pointed it out. You tweeted it earlier today, and I had the exact same thought as you. How much influence is Brandon Staley going to have on this defense? Because look who they've signed, right? Leonard Floyd was with Brandon Staley in Chicago, was with Brandon Staley in L.A. They signed Eric Kendricks, who I think is a very good signing, by the way, was with Brandon Staley. So I'm just wondering, normally when you get a defensive coordinator and you shift, you know, you implement a new system, you want to sign your guys. Kyle Shanahan did the same thing, right? He signed Brian Hoyer in 2017, his first year implementing the system. He signed Pierre Garçon, who was with him in Washington. You sign guys that know the system, and it seems like the Niners are going to the Brandon Staley guys, which to me indicates he's going to have a major impact on this defense.
Well, it's interesting. Like, the defensive coordinators don't really get a say on the scheme on the 49ers. That's Kyle's scheme. But they do get a say on personnel because Kyle, I mean, doesn't really know it as well on defense. I mean, sometimes he does, but he's the head coach and he delegates that a little bit to other people. Adam Peters is gone. Don Lynch is on his own. And now it seems like Brandon Staley all of a sudden is filling a void of who to bring in on defense. And it's guys in their 30s that he knows, which is interesting. But that would seem to give him a lot of power. Seems like, you know, I don't know. He has such a bad reputation. The way people know him, he failed miserably with the Chargers. He was not popular with the players. It seems like Kyle wanted him, but the players didn't. And they sort of found this weird balance to bring him in the organization and have him have power, but keep him away from media and players and microphones and people. It's strange.
That's exactly what I said when it went down. It's strange. I want to hear from the Niners. I want to hear more about what the responsibilities are. But to me, it seemed like the kind of move you make when we really wanted to hire Brandon Staley to be the defensive coordinator, but we don't want to smoke publicly or privately. So we're going to have Nick Sorensen's technically going to be our defensive coordinator. It's an internal hire. It's our guy, right? It's his defense, right?
Yeah,
it is, except we're going to bring in all these guys from the Chargers that have experience with Brandon Staley, including possibly Joey Bosa or Khalil Mack, who have experience with Brandon Staley. So I want to know more about that so much, because right now what they are doing, all their actions to me say that it's Brandon Staley's defense.
Yeah, and like almost like he's a shadow coach and Sorensen is a shell coach. It reminds me a little bit of baseball, the trend that happened the last 10 years of front offices really becoming too controlling, and they would hire a manager who's supposed to be pro, like one of the guys, the players like him, but he doesn't fill out the lineup card. The front office tells him when to take out the pitchers and how many. They don't really make decisions. They're just figureheads. And I wonder if the Niners have sort of set up Nick Sorensen in that position. Like, yeah, man, you can call the plays, but Brandon Staley's going to sort of lay out the picture for you, and you're going to be sort of coloring by numbers here.
That's what I want to know about, because that's what it seems like to me. I'm willing to be convinced otherwise, but right now, that's what it seems like. And for the record, I would have been fine if they hired Brandon Staley as the defensive coordinator. I was not against that move at all. But if you want to do it, then do it. I don't like this one foot in, one foot out kind of a thing.
I'm against it. Not because he's not smart. Steve Wilks is smart too. But I think what we're learning, maybe I'm wrong, with Kyle, I think he's a top three offensive coach, but he's not like a galvanizing type head coach like John Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin. There's a certain emotional element that those type of coach, the dude in Campbell, there's an emotional element that they have that Kyle doesn't. Fine. You're so good on offense. That's cool. But I do think your defensive coordinator needs to have that element. D'Amico had it. Saleh had it, like in bursting out of them. Steve Wilks didn't. He was more like Kyle. And I think Brandon Staley is much more like Kyle. So I think maybe Nick Sorensen is really necessary. I don't know what Nick's like, but if he could be a little bit more energetic and upbeat, I think this team needs it.
I agree that like coaches sort of have specialties, right? There's the X's and O's coach. There's a motivational coach like a Dan Campbell or a Pete Carroll. Not to say that those guys don't know X's and O's, but I feel like their main sort of specialty. And then there are coaches
that they don't even call plays. Dan Campbell's not calling plays.
Then there's coaches that do like John Harbaugh is kind of like a CEO type of a coach. Like there are like bigger picture guys, game management style coaches. Kyle is an X's and O's guy. And that's fine. That's not a knock. But I agree that, like, the emotional, I don't want to say emotional intelligence because that sounds mean, but I think that he does.
The emotional core of the team is coming from the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Shut up. Yeah. And that's fine. That's totally okay, man. He's the yin to your yang. It worked with Saleh, worked with D'Amico. It can't be Staley, man. That's one. Staley is very removed. I didn't really resonate with the players at all.
So we'll see. I don't know how much Staley's going to have, but they are going after, or they have signed a couple of guys that have history with Staley. And if Bosa and Mac happens, that would be yet another guy. And I don't know that Joey Bosa has a good relationship with Brandon Staley. I have no idea if it's good or bad. I don't know. I can't say. You're making a face that makes me feel like it's bad. Do you know something that I don't?
It just didn't seem like that team was that enthusiastic about Brandon Staley. But, hey, he got Eric Kendricks. He got Leonard Floyd. So maybe some people like him.
Well, Leonard Floyd flat out said when he was cleaning out his locker, I'm going where the most money is, which, by the way, I love and fully respect it. Good for you, Leonard Floyd. Go where the money is. I just liked that he flat out said it.
Yeah, because every player feels the same way. It's like he just at least stood on business, which is my favorite phrase of 2024. Standing on business.
So we'll find out what's going to happen with the Chargers. Again, the clock is ticking. They have to get under the cap today. I would assume that they're going to have to cut guys, because here's the thing. They can't trade Bosa or Mac before the new league year starts. And you have to be under the cap when the new league year starts. So I feel like if they're not going to cut Bosa or Mac, they're going to have to do a whole bunch of other work with some other guys restructuring stuff to get in line before the deal or before the new league year.
I just don't like signing Bosa. Khalil Mack, I would never knock a team for bringing in Khalil Mack. He's a Hall of Fame, great, great player who isn't declining. But Joey Bosa, you pushed out Eric Armstead, who, I mean, because he has injury issues. So you could turn around and sign Joey Bosa, who has more injury issues? Like, no. I'm sorry. If it's Khalil Mack, great. If it's Joey Bosa, I got an issue with the fact that you've now signed four defensive linemen, and the only offensive lineman you've signed is Ben Bartsch and Colton McKibbitz. I got an issue with that.
I would agree with the Joey Bosa. Like, the injuries are what scares me with him. Come on. If you told me he was going to be healthy, I'd be all for it. But chances are, it looks like he's not going to be healthy. And he's sort of the opposite of the guys you've been signing. Leonard Floyd hasn't missed a game in 6 years. Who is that? Jordan Elliott. Say what you want. He might not be the best player, but he's played every single game of his 4-year career. Like, they have guys that are consistently showing up.
It seems like the Niners are sort of making a statement, like, we're no longer overpaying for older players who aren't on the field. We're going to be paying not bargain prices, but yeah, like bargain prices for players who are on the field. It seems like they're making a statement, like, we're going to be cost effective. We're going to get guys who are actually out there. So great. That does not seem like Joey Bosa.
Right.
That does not seem like Joey Bosa.
Khalil Mack, I would be okay with if they wanted to go with. He's a little older, but you know what? He's more dependable than Joey Bosa. He's played every game the last 2 years. He's played every game in 4 of the last 5 years. So that's a
every team needs Khalil Mack. Every team. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Do you think that there's like a make nice with Nick Bosa component to this? Does that factor into anything at all? Obviously, Nick would love to play with his brother.
Okay, that's an interesting, let's go down that rabbit hole. Okay, let's just do a bunch of irresponsible speculation.
Yes!
Okay, let's try. Did Kyle Shanahan lose the locker room after he lost the Super Bowl? I mean, a lot of people, the whole conversation was, did Kyle know the rules? I'm sure the players were aware of the conversation. Some very high-paid, expensive players on this team. And if they're looking at Kyle like, man, I can't believe you blew this for us. If one of them was Eric Armstead, he's gone. If another one is Nick Bosa, he's not going anywhere. Is there something Kyle can do to win over Nick and say, look, Nick, I know you feel like I ruined an opportunity for you, but I got rid of Steve Wilks. I hired the guy you liked. I brought in your brother. Hey, are we good? I don't know. That's wild speculation. That's completely irresponsible. So I'm sorry I threw it out there, but I thought about it.
First of all, this needs to be a weekly feature on the show. Irresponsible speculation. We have stumbled into it here. We absolutely have to make this a weekly thing.
Okay. If we label it, then it's less irresponsible.
Right.
Yeah.
We fully admit that this is just rambling, irresponsible speculation, but I'm here for it. I understand why you would at least bring that up, right? I do get that part of it. I don't think it's true. I do think it's irresponsible speculation, but...
Yeah, I don't think he lost the locker room either, but I could see the locker room being pissed at him for months.
The veteran players on this team have an undue amount of influence over what happens on the field. They drafted a guy third overall that had a plan to incorporate him as part of the offense, and when they started doing it and it was working, the veteran players told Kyle to stop, and he did, by the way. So clearly the vets have influence on this team. So, you know, I agree. I don't think he lost the locker room either. But
and I don't think Joey Bosa's coming here either. So if he does, I would wonder, like, why, man? Is this just to appease Nick? Is Nick that upset with you, Kyle? Can't you guys just have a beer and work it out? I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
That's rampant, wild speculation.
Yes, and that needs we're doing that every week from now on, because that is just my favorite thing in the entire world.
Me too.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The other thing, topic, that piece of business, let's say, that needs to get done for the 49ers is they need to come to some sort of resolution with Brandon Ayuk. Whether they extend him, whether they say, you know what, we're not going to extend you, you're just playing on the fifth-year deal. It needs to get resolved. How, Grant, do you think it gets resolved?
Well, I wouldn't be shocked if they make Brandon Ayuk play out the fifth-year option. It's $14 million. That's actually pretty reasonable for Brandon Ayuk. And it's not that he doesn't merit an extension. It's just that it's going to be extremely expensive, outrageously expensive, like $28 million a year expensive, or in that ballpark. And is he worth it? Is any wide receiver worth that? I mean, this guy, he didn't have 100 yards in the Super Bowl. I mean, the Chiefs got under his skin, and they felt like they took him out of the game mentally, and they said that he was trying to fight and this and that. Whatever. Whatever. He's really, 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 really good. But do you have to give him the contract? Do you want to see a little bit more from him? Because you can. And he's not gonna like sit out the season. You do have some leverage. You don't have to just give every player the extension they want. I mean, you took a hard line with McGlinchey, right?
I would agree. I heard an interview with Mike Florio. I can't remember where it was, but his point was that the Niners are kind of looking at it like, let's let Ayuk play out on the fifth-year option and try and hold this team, this core, kind of together for one more season.
Right.
Because Ayuk doesn't have any leverage. And people need to understand, it's not just a question of, did Ayuk or any player play well enough to warrant an extension? It's not just, well, this guy played well, he deserves an extension, so we're going to do it. It's, do we have to do it? And what's our cap situation? And what are the available alternatives out there? All of that goes into the stew for what the 49ers need to do with Brandon Ayuk.
Because let's go back 2 years ago when they were deciding what to do with Deebo Samuel. Had he earned the extension? He just had one of the best seasons in like franchise history. So in that sense, you could say he earned it. But looking forward, was it smart to give him that big contract? Like, the Niners seem to regret it right now, or they should. So you got to sort of think that way with Brandon Ayuk. Has he earned it? Yeah, in a lot of ways he has. He shows up every day in practice. He blocks. He does everything right. But is it smart to give him $27, $28 million a year for the next 4 or 5 years? That's a different question.
I agree. And also the price of the alternatives. If this is a really good wide receiver draft, can we draft another guy that might not be what Brandon Ayuk is right off the bat, but if he's 85% of Brandon Ayuk and he's 10 times cheaper, they have to factor that in too. I always say building a roster is like doing a Rubik's cube. Every move you make affects every other part of the cube. You can't just make a move in a vacuum. It all goes together. Keenan Gims says,
well, real quick too, when they gave Deebo all that money, it was understood like, okay, well, he's the focal point of our offense. We're going to hand him the ball. He's the running back. He's our number one wide receiver. It makes sense. But with Ayuk, like, you're going to give him $28 million a year because he's efficient. You don't even give him that many targets. You're a run first team. You like last in the league in pass attempts. So to justify that kind of a contract at wide receiver, when you're already paying another wide receiver that much money, seems like you actually have to change your offense a little bit, throw more, and invest in pass protection, which they're not gonna do. So I could see why they'd be like, you know what, Brandon, we're cool with you at $14 million on a fifth-year deal, and we'll see what happens, but we may actually let you go in a year. Sorry. Who knows?
I saw the little nugget from Mike Silver before free agency started. He had a Twitter thread of like things he was expecting. And he said that there was no clear signal that the 49ers were going to pay Brandon Ayuk and that they may rethink their thinking about the position was what he wrote, which I was like, think about that, right? Ayuk is healthy all the time. He plays hard. He blocks. He's productive when they throw him the ball. Why wouldn't there be a clear sign that they were going to pay Brandon Ayuk?
Because he's getting like seven targets a game, six targets a game. And if you're going to give a guy that kind of contract, it's sort of understood that he's going to be getting 9, 10, 11 targets a game. And again, unless the Niners want to change the structure of their offense and start featuring their split end like that, which I don't think they want to do, then I could totally see them saying, do we need to give him this extension? Why don't we just play it out and then draft a guy? I mean, they did quite well with Brandon Ayuk on his rookie deal. Like, couldn't they get another guy in the end of round one who fits their system? I wouldn't be surprised.
Especially this aspect, too. If you notice, Grant, almost all the guys they've signed have been two-year deals. Almost all of them. Kendricks is a one-year deal. Interesting. But I almost wonder if the Niners are like, look, we're going to vastly reshape this team. Come hell or high water, whatever happens after 2024, this team's going to look a lot different. I think it is, anyway. So maybe they're like, maybe we don't want to lock into anything because we may be blowing this whole thing up in a year.
Or let's think Brock Purdy. This is his last year for cheap. He'll be eligible for an extension next year. And the first year of his extension, there'll be a big signing bonus. His salary cap hit may not be that big in 2025 either. But after that, it'll be ginormously huge. Super duper duper large, assuming he gets the extension. And then the whole structure of the team's going to have to change. So maybe the Niners see it as two more years with a cheap quarterback. Two more. And then, you know, who knows what it's going to cost to keep Brock Purdy. If 36-year-old Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles tear gets 45. God.
Sam Darnold just got 10 from the Vikings.
I mean, Brock could get 60. Who knows?
By the way, for the record, I'm not just assuming that, oh, yep, we're definitely going to sign Brock to an extension in a year. Like, who knows what could happen next year?
Same conversation. They can make him play
hurt.
Yep.
Like, I'm not there yet where it's like,
that's what people think with Talanoa. Like, oh my God, what are we going to do? He's going to need this huge extension. Come on. He got hurt. Now, I mean, I don't know what you're going to do with Talanoa, but it seems like he's sticking around. And he may not even get an extension. He may have to play out his deal.
Right. I'm just saying we can't just assume that. Look, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo signed that deal and they were like, they couldn't wait to get out of the end of it. Colin Kaepernick signed a huge deal with the 49ers and he wasn't the guy. So
I
want to
talk about that. I want to talk about that. Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners backup quarterback vacancy.
No.
Let's talk about it. I mean, not Jimmy, but I want to talk about the Niners quarterback vacancy, like what they should do at that spot. Kenyon Grimes, Fernando, and Butter Them Biscuits. Shout out to Ryan Hensley.
Matt McCune says they save money on the cap by extending Brandon Ayuk this year. Yes, they
save
money.
But they also lock themselves into a very expensive player long term.
Yes. Jeb says Kendricks, UCLA baby, bring Jack and Barr too. No, we don't need all the Vikings linebackers. So let's calm down with that.
But I do like UCLA players in the team. Cool.
Matt says Deebo in a fourth round pick for Newsom and a sixth. I assume that's Newsom from the Browns, the corner.
I like that.
I don't hate that.
Yeah, I like that. That's very clever, man. That's good. I like that.
Okay, let's talk about the quarterback.
Although, again, you're robbing your offense to improve your defense. Like, at some point, the Niners, really, it'd be cool if they would do something to add to their offense. Be cool.
I think their offense is good, personally. I don't think they need to add. I would like to see some offensive line help, but I think that's coming in the draft. We'll get to a couple more super chats in a minute, but let's talk about the backup quarterback spot. 49ers re-signed Brandon Allen. Sam Darnold is no longer a thing. Thank you, God. Get off my team. He's now in Minnesota. The assumption from everybody is that the 49ers are going to draft a third quarterback. Do you like that quarterback room of Brock, Brandon Allen, and a rookie to be named later?
I do like it. That's what I would do. And I think people that would go the other way would say, geez, you know, can't really trust Brandon Allen to play if Brock Purdy goes down. And would you really trust another rookie to step in with this team? Yeah, I would. I mean, Brock did a good job. And the way I look at it is, name me one quarterback on the market right now you like. There are a bunch of retread failures, to be really harsh. But that's what they are. Guys who have failed multiple spots and are complete retreads. You're bringing them in for experience? Not all experience is good experience. You can get guys in the draft in round 7 who have a ton of experience. I mean, Brock Purdy showed us that. So I think the Niners should try to, I'm not saying they're going to find the next Brock Purdy, but I think there's a bit of a template that they can follow to find another college quarterback who can function right away for them.
And I think they might look at it as, you know, we'll draft the guy, and hell, if that guy outplays Brandon Allen, we'll make Brandon Allen the third quarterback again. Yeah. I don't think they care about that. I kind of agree with what Kyle had said a few years ago. I can't remember if it was a couple, 2 years ago or three, but whenever he said it, he was basically like, look, you can find a backup quarterback that if they have to play for a couple games, like, you'll be okay. If your backup quarterback has to play for an extended amount of time, more often than not, you are screwed. Now, the 49ers ended up being the exception to that because Brock came in and played well. But most of the time, if your backup's got to play 4, 5, 6 games or more, your season's pretty much over. So I kind of understand the 49ers going the Brandon Allen / rookie to be named later route.
Right, because if you sign a guy, you know he's just a backup. You can say whatever you want to say. He's Sam Darnold. He's just a backup. You're in trouble if he has to play very much at all. But if you draft a guy, you don't know what he is. He might be just a backup. And that's what the Niners thought Brock was when they drafted him. That's all they thought he was. Yep. But then you bring him into camp and it's like, oh, hey, turns out he's pretty good. And you're not going to have that revelation from some 27, 29, 34-year-old guy who is on his 7th team that you bring in. Like, you've tried that. You tried it with Josh Rosen. You tried it with Sam Darnold. It doesn't work. Not here. I want to see you draft another quarterback. Give Brian Greasy another shot. Let him see what he can do. Let him try.
I agree, especially who, like, Brian Greasy may not be on your staff for that much longer. Right. If he gets another job somewhere, if he has this ability to find quarterbacks, whether they're, you know, backup quarterbacks or starting caliber, whatever, like, take advantage of it while he's in the building.
You know what you're looking for at that position. You don't need a guy who's 6'4". You don't need a guy who has a strong arm. So that all of a sudden you're looking at quarterbacks that like 90% of the rest of the league isn't looking for. Give me the shortest guy with the weakest arm. No, who else is looking for that guy? What you want is a guy who's mobile, experienced, smart, decisive, mature. You can find those guys. You already know that that's your template. So give it a shot. You get two of them.
I agree. And I think the 49ers will. They have 11 picks or 10, whatever it is. They can spend one of those on a quarterback for sure. So I think that is something that is definitely going to happen.
Not Jimmy, though. Like, what you don't want to is bring back a freaking failure like Jimmy. No.
Especially coming off suspension, too, because don't forget, he's suspended for a couple of games. And you don't want that. You don't want any quarterback drama. You had no quarterback drama. John Lynch talked about it at the Combine, right? It was so nice not to have a controversy, not to worry about Brock Purdy's health, that it was Brock, and they were settled. You sign Jimmy Garoppolo again. Well, forget that. That's out the door. Then you've got all sorts of quarterback drama.
Do you really believe in Brock? Like, why does Brock need that looming over his shoulder? I mean, not just the player, but the conversation. He doesn't. So to me, just draft a guy in round 7. That doesn't put any pressure on Brock. But at the same time, as an organization, you know you've had success with that. You know what you're looking for, and you know what's available there.
And I don't think there's any possibility of Jimmy Garoppolo coming back. I think Kyle was so done with him by the time. I mean, we saw the report, right, that Philip Rivers was going to be the quarterback in the Super Bowl if the Niners had made the Super Bowl in, what was it, 2022? I can't even remember.
That was not an amicable breakup.
No, they were done with each other. 100%. No.
Yeah, weren't talking when they were working together. No.
Philip Rivers said recently, I just saw a podcast clip, like, that was a real thing. That he was definitely considering it. So that tells you the relationship with Jimmy. Chris Sims, not that Chris Sims, a different Chris Sims, says, do you think the Niners should use a running back committee in the future? Can't continue to use McCaffrey up the way they do. Shout out from Stockton, Grant.
I mean, that's an interesting conundrum. Like, you don't want to overuse McCaffrey, but at the same time, if you have like one of the highest paid running backs in the league, you kind of don't want to underuse him either. And you could argue in the Super Bowl with the season on the line, those critical third and fours at the end of the regulation, the end of overtime, like you almost have to put the ball in McCaffrey's hands. And if you don't, it's like, well, shouldn't you just have a running back by committee and spend that money on your wide receivers? Like, what are you doing? So it's a tough one, man. Like keep him healthy for the playoffs, but then actually commit to using him in the playoffs. But my next question is, how good is he really? I mean, it's not like he's Terrell Davis where you could just give him 30 carries and he's going to bring home the Super Bowl victory. I don't know that he's that good. You could argue that he fumbled on that first drive and the rest of the game was sort of in safety first mode, trying to protect the football, not necessarily fighting for those extra yards, spinning. He didn't have a great game in the Super Bowl. I don't know why. Derrick Henry. Is Christian McCaffrey the best running back in the league?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. 1,000%. Yeah. I saw this graphic yesterday when Derrick Henry went to the Ravens. Who led the league in yards after contact? Christian McCaffrey with 949 yards. That's more than Derrick Henry. Keep in mind, Derrick Henry's like 6'2". What is he? 250? Christian McCaffrey's like 5'11". I don't know what he weighs. 202, whatever he weighs. Like, Christian McCaffrey is so damn good. And I'm so happy that he's on this team. I will not allow any Christian McCaffrey slander on the program.
3.6 yards per carry in the Super Bowl.
Did he also catch some passes in the Super Bowl?
He did. He had that nice play. He had the nice touchdown catch from Juwan Jennings. That was basically his biggest play.
He had a couple.
I think for what you're paying him, like, I don't think it's ever smart to over invest in running back. Like, you could have LaDainian Tomlinson in his prime and pay him every penny that he's worth, and he's not going to deliver you the Super Bowl because the game's going to come down to a couple third downs, and you're not going to give him the ball on those plays because it's a passing league. And on the first third down, Kyle was mic'd up and he was saying, go to McCaffrey. You could watch the plays not open.
Yeah, I don't know. That was weird. Open. I don't know why he said that. Like, he wasn't open. Or by the time he came open, it wasn't
possible. Again, nothing against McCaffrey. I'm truly talking about running backs in general. The league isn't set up for them to be able to bring you home the title anymore. It's just not. It's such a passing league. So his value is as a receiver. And as a receiver, he's not as valuable as receivers, frankly.
Matt McCune says, there's still some good value at O-line out there in free agency, better than what we have. We'll find out later today if that matters.
If they draft an offensive lineman, that guy's probably getting redshirted.
Oh, that's another point that Jason Aponte made yesterday, and I agree with him. Like, no more. You can't have that redshirt stuff. You got to have guys that can contribute right away because you've had too many draft classes where you haven't had anybody that can contribute. So you need guys that can produce on the field.
I thought they were redshirting D. Winters and Jalen Graham, and then it's like they signed 32-year-old Eric Kendricks. It's like, oh, so they were just busts. Okay, all right, well, I don't know. We were holding out hope, but yay, you gave up. So what was the point?
Or maybe they think that those guys can be backups, but they want to. Again, Kendricks is a reliable dude. They know what they're getting. I think that that's what they want more than anything.
How successful has the Niners' redshirt program been?
Not that successful.
Not really.
Banks
or Fungo Brown. That's about it.
Yeah, Hufanga, I feel like they were taking Tart off the field for him.
True.
Pretty early.
True. Yeah, like just a straight up redshirt year, not no playing at all. Banks.
Yeah, Banks. I mean, Danny Gray, no.
No.
Trey Lance, Price, no. No. Trey Lance. Well, they tried to get Trey Lance.
They tried.
The team rebelled.
Yep. That didn't work out.
Because if you have guys that can play, Grant, you play them.
Exactly.
Like, they redshirt because they're not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it was crazy. It's like the Niners are so afraid of these young guys being able to step in. Chiefs were way younger than them. Rams are really young.
Packers
Lions are really young.
Incredibly young.
You can play with young guys. It's just coaching. You can do it.
I don't know if this is true, but I thought I saw on Twitter yesterday the Packers don't have a single player over 28, which would be kind of
that's incredible.
I don't know if it's true. I did see that on Twitter, but I didn't research it. But if that's true, it's incredible. Matt also says, I don't have faith Kyle will change, but I do believe in the law of averages and things need to balance out. Meaning, I don't know what you mean by that, Matt. what will the balancing out be? Let us know in the chat. Matt also says Jimmy G suspended performance reducing drugs. They certainly didn't seem to help him. I'll say that.
I mean, really, I don't know what Jimmy was trying to do or what happened to him, but it seems like not only did he get himself in trouble, but he opened up the door for the Raiders to just wash their hands of him. Like, imagine if Russell Wilson had made that mistake. The Broncos would have been so grateful.
Oh, yeah.
They would have been so grateful. I'm sure the Raiders were like, yes! Oh, my God! This is amazing!
Right, we were going to cut you anyway.
So yeah.
He used a... he didn't have a prescription, or he didn't have like clearance for taking a prescription. That's what it was. So I guess that seems like a very procedural, avoidable thing. Just get the exemption from the NFL to take this prescription.
Cost him millions
of dollars.
And he's not getting back.
No. Whew. God, no. Dale says, did we really need an announcement about Debo changing his jersey to number one and Debo throwing shade at BA saying I'm the only one here? I don't know. Did Debo say that? I'm not familiar with that comment.
I didn't see that.
I don't think Debo would throw shade at Brandon Ayuk. Debo was just on Kay Adams saying that Brandon Ayuk's his guy, that he loves Ayuk, that he doesn't think Ayuk's going anywhere.
I didn't see that. Sorry.
I mean, Ayuk is 11 instigator. And Debo is one. So maybe he's saying I'm the only one here because he literally is the only guy wearing jersey number one. I don't know. I don't think the Niners made a big deal of the jersey change, by the way. I mean, they tweeted out a thing, but that wasn't, it wasn't a huge deal.
People in the chat are saying the Niners, hold on. Okay. Adam Schefter is saying that the 49ers are trading for defensive tackle Malik Collins. So he played for the Texans last year, which, I mean, that's wide nine. That's D'Amico Ryans. Have I heard of Malik Collins? No, but let's become Malik Collins experts right now. Have you heard of Malik Collins?
Terrible. I hate it. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay. He's 28. He's started 112 games in his career, which means I absolutely should know who he is. He was a third round pick. He was drafted by the Cowboys. He played for them for 4 years. He played for the Raiders for a year. He's been with Houston for 3 years. Last year, he had 5 sacks. How many snaps did he play? 700 snaps. So this is a serious defensive tackle. It almost seems like he's probably, is he better than Jordan Elliott? Okay. So another defensive player. Hey, Rob, did you realize that the Niners defense was the reason they lost the Super Bowl? Because I think it's pretty clear. It's their fault. But now they got Malik Collins and Jordan Elliott. So forget Eric Armstead. I'm just being a jerk at this point.
Collins.
Oh, wow.
Overall PFF grade, again, this isn't the Bible, but just a baseline, was 62.7. His pass rush grade was 70.1. His run defense grade was 45.6. So that's not great. But
okay. Yeah. So he's the other. So we're talking platoons here, right? Leonard Floyd's the pass rusher. Yetur Gross-Matos is the edge setter, run defender. Jordan Elliott, run defender. Malik Collins, pass rusher. Okay. Got a couple platoons. Last year, the platoon was Drake Jackson and Cleveland Farrell, so you couldn't do worse.
What is the compensation? That's what I want to know.
Well, it's a trade, right? So right. It's not a signing. Let me look it up.
So if they're trading for him, what are they giving up? If it's just a late round pick, I'm all for it.
So his cap number for 2024 was 13.4, but a lot of that is prorated bonus, $5 million. So his base salary, $8 million with per game roster bonuses. Sounds like it's going to cost the Niners. It seems kind of expensive. More expensive than Jordan Elliott. So about $8 million. And he signed through 2025, but he has no guaranteed money next year. So,
Yeah, I want to know more about it. I'm not going to pretend to be a Malik Collins expert. Matt McCune keeps saying I miss super chats. I read your super chat about addressing the offensive line, Matt. We talked about it.
He signed a two-year extension with the Texans last year in June. It was a two-year $23 million extension with $18 million guaranteed. So he's essentially kind of making the same amount of money that Leonard Floyd and Yetur Gross-Matos are making. You got three guys on the Niners, another guy who's signed for two more years. Like you said, 2024, 2025, making about $10 million a year.
As Eric Branch points out, this ends any question about Eric Armstead returning.
Yeah, forget Eric Armstead. He's not coming back.
That's over.
I don't really expect to bring it full circle. I don't expect Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack. It seems pretty clear that what the Niners did was, instead of relying on really expensive guys who aren't on the field, get a couple guys who were cost effective and on the field. And that way you're covered. I get it. It's at least consistent. It makes sense. These guys aren't stars, but they'll be on the field most likely.
I think the 49ers are saying, look, we've got the Lamborghini and the Porsche. We've got all those in the garage already, right? We've got Warner and Bosa and Hufanga's, going to be back. And we've got McCaffrey and Kittle and all the names. We all know the names. What they need is the reliable car. They need the Subaru Legacy. I just wrote a story about this for our website, goldstandardniners.com, about how the Niners are going for affordability and dependability. And when you've got the other cars in the garage, I think that's an okay route to go.
I just had a thought.
All right.
Another thing that this says is they're actually looking at scheme fit, because this guy played in the wide nine. They can see it. Jordan Elliott played in the wide nine. They can see it. You know who didn't play in the wide nine that they gave a whole lot of money to? Hargrave, who had a solid year, but you could argue he's not a scheme fit in the wide nine. He was killing it in a five-man front. It's a whole different thing. He was getting one-on-ones all day and destroying them. Here, it's a different story. It's a different job. So maybe, are they going to trade Javon Hargrave? Are they? Hey, can we come back to irresponsible speculation?
Always.
Let's bring it back. Let's look at Javon Hargrave's contract. They're paying him a lot of money to potentially not fit this defense. Let's look at Javon Hargrave. What you got? Hold on. Okay. His cap number this year is just $15 million. So you're not really creating any. No. Okay. But next year they could trade him. They could trade him next year. He has no guaranteed money next year. His cap number goes up to $26
million. A post-June 1st trade, they could move Hargrave.
Post-June 1st, they could.
There'd be only a 5.8.
They could. But I don't know. Because it seems to me that Jordan Elliott and Malik Collins are both starters. Two starters. I mean, Jordan Elliott, is he not? Jordan Elliott, was he not a starter last year?
I don't think I don't know anything about him. I know he did not have good PFF.
He started 14 to 17 games last year and 17 to 17 games a year before then. He could come off the bench for sure. But how much money did they give him? Do we know?
I don't think we know yet. Again, none of these deals can become official until the new league year starts.
Okay. We have some preliminary figures on Collins, Floyd, and Gross Matos, but we don't know Elliott yet. I'd be curious to see if he's paid like a starter or backup. What's going on with Hargrave? I don't know.
I don't know.
He's expensive.
I think he was okay last year. You know,
it's okay.
He was not as good of a pass rusher as I was hoping for, certainly. But
doesn't help your run defense much.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. But
No. But PFF did say he was the worst signing of last year.
Yeah, that's true.
I
saw a stat from Next Gen Stats that said he had the second most pressures out of the three tech alignment last year. Justin Madubuike was first from the Ravens with 38. Hargrave was second with 32. So it's not like sometimes I feel like it's hard to evaluate defensive tackles just because, you know, they're defensive tackles. A lot of what they do, they do the F the play up, as Chris Sims likes to call it, where you don't get a stat, but you penetrate and you screw the whole play up. So sometimes I think it can be hard to evaluate those guys. But there is nobody on this team that they could move off of that I would be stunned. Nobody, except for maybe Bosa. Other than that, there would be nothing would shock me.
Well, I mean, they completely redone their defensive line. They got rid of Eric Armstead. They let Kinlaw go. They let Chase Young go. They let Randy Gregory go. And it seems like this could be the Javon Kinlaw replacement, or Jordan Elliott was the Javon Kinlaw replacement. A couple of days ago, I thought the Niners are definitely drafting a defensive tackle in round one. Mm-hmm. But now you got this guy you just traded for a guy making $10 million a year. You just signed a guy yesterday who is kind of like a DJ Jones two-down run stuffer. Where are you going to go in round one now? Now I don't know anymore. Are you? I mean, clearly it's going to be defense. Obviously it's going to be defense because that's the only side of the ball that needs anything. So what? Corner? Are they going to draft a corner in round one? That would be interesting. I wouldn't be against it.
Yes. Corner, yeah. I would love. Or O-line. By the way, it's a seventh round pick in return for Malik Collins. I saw that is the compensation. So hooray. You know, no one's gonna cry about a seventh round pick.
This is D'Amico doing the Kyle solid.
Look, D'Amico, the way D'Amico's been stocking up his defense, he's like, yeah, I don't care about Malik Collins. We just signed a bunch of dudes and I'm gonna be mauling people.
Yeah. This is cool. Cool. Very interesting. I guess this kind of frees up the Niners to go BPA in round one, which is what you want to do.
Oh, absolutely. I wanted them to address some need in free agency because I felt like that would give you so much more flexibility with your first round pick to where you're not like, well, God, we got to go here because if we don't, then we have this giant gaping hole on the roster. I don't feel like they think they have that now. I think that's part of what the McKivitz signing was about. It was like, hey, we'd like to get some help on the offensive line, but if things don't go our way, we feel okay enough with him that we're not forced into drafting purely for need.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at it, so McKivitz is also through 2025, right? This isn't the last dance. Next year is the last dance. But McKivitz is signed through 2025. He's making less money than Collins. All of a sudden, it's looking like that right tackle spot isn't necessarily set in stone. They're less invested in that right tackle spot than they are D tackle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That being said, they freaking love D tackles. So you never can have enough.
Well, they do love defensive line. I was sort of hoping that maybe they would shift to investing more in the secondary because I feel like the NFL just lets dudes hold in the biggest games of the year. So no matter how good your defensive line is, if guys can hold, you're kind of screwed. So I was hoping maybe they'd invest more in the secondary, and they still may with their draft picks. We don't know. But this
puts to rest the idea that the Niners are going to get Bosa or Mac, right? Like
I would think. That's yeah.
Fourth defensive lineman they've brought in. Can I count? Four.
Gross Matos, Collins, Floyd, Elliot. And Elliot. Yeah, that's four.
Yeah, that's four. Okay.
Greatness 54 YouTube channel member, which, by the way, if you want to become a YouTube channel member, please support the channel. It's less than $3 a month. You get priority comment response, custom emojis, membership badges. Please do it. Greatness 54 says, I'm hearing that the Rams are in pursuit of Patrick Surtain.
That's what your sources tell you? Sorry to say that. I'm snarky.
I hope not. I think the Rams are having a good offseason. I think the Rams are going to be a problem for the 49ers next year. A lot of people got mad at me when I tweeted that out, that the Niners aren't going to be able to just shove them around like they have in years past. They're bulking up the offensive line. I don't want them to get Surtain, but you know what? That's what the Rams do. The Rams take those swings. In fact, that's why the Niners have been so aggressive, because they talked about how they had to because the Rams started to do all those things.
Right. And, you know, if you're in the NFC West and you're trying to take down the Niners who've owned this division for a little while, it seems pretty clear that what you need to do is play some high level man-to-man coverage, particularly against Brandon Ayuk. As long as he's on this team and because against Purdy, his best attribute is his anticipation, which is killer against zone. But against man, it's more about picking out the matchup, putting the ball in a spot where only your guy can catch it. And that's more about arm talent and the receiver getting open. How about that? And that's what Ayuk does. So if you can shut down Ayuk man to man, you got a really good chance because Debo can shut himself down man to man.
Last night, Mike Silver, someone tweeted at Mike Silver and was like, hey, I'm really disappointed about what the 49ers have done. I thought that they would do more. And Mike Silver's response was, stay tuned, which of course got a lot of people excited. He was just asked if this was the move Mike Silver was talking about. And Mike said, quote, they're not done. So maybe the 49ers have another move cooking. I don't know if it's going to be, you know, a big move, but at least it sounds like Mike Silver knows that something else is coming down the pike, which, you know, that's always exciting.
Hey, I would never I have questioned Mike Silver. Mike, I'm sorry. I bought him a burrito to formalize the apology, and I would never question him anymore. He knows what he's talking about. They're not done is a fair thing to say. I would imagine they're not. And again, let's think it through. Can they make another big signing? Seems tough. But could they trade? Could they make a trade? They could trade Ayuk. They could trade Debo in a pick for a player in a pick. I don't know. But he's the one saying it. He's the one saying that there's no definitive
feeling that they're going to re-sign Ayuk. Yep.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'd like to know.
First of all, there's no more serious apology than a burrito apology. I mean, that is really going above and beyond by you. So good job.
I DoorDashed it too. That's like a $25 burrito once you factor in, you know, the tax and the DoorDash fees. Like I really came from the heart.
Wait, did you just have a random burrito sent to Mike Silver? Did you text him beforehand?
it was during training camp and we were there and I had said something wild because he had said that Brandon Allen had like a better chance to make the team than Trey Lance. And I was like, in what world? And he was right. So I was like, okay, I owe you a burrito. And I door dashed it from La Victoria in San Jose, which is phenomenal. But like two burritos came out to $50, which is
holy hell. What was that? DoorDash for you.
It's probably a $10-$15 burrito, but once you actually factor in all the fees, it's just a lot. But it's for your convenience.
Damn, that is a fancy burrito.
California.
I need you to do something mean to me so you could apologize that way to me. I'll eat a fancy burrito.
I'll get it shipped to you in Connecticut.
Well, you can do that.
Yes.
Dave Barclay, YouTube channel member, says, Kyle believes defense wins championships still. I completely agree. Offense wins champ. Quarterbacks win championships now.
Teams win championships. Do one thing for your offense. One thing. It could be a backup quarterback, man. I know you will eventually, but like how many defensive tackles are you going to sign before you sign one guy to your offense?
The Juwan Jennings thing is interesting. Technically, we don't know how that's going to work out. It seems likely that he'll be back. They gave him a second round tender. And so what that means basically is he can go and talk to other teams and try to find a good deal. And if another team signs him to an offer sheet, the Niners can look at that and they can match it. Or they say, no, go ahead and leave. And the Niners get a second round pick in return. So to me, no matter what happens with Juwan Jennings, I'm good with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
To draft him in the seventh, get the production that he's given you, and then even if he leaves, you get a second round pick back. That's just good business.
But that's why he won't leave, because from another team's perspective, if they need a wide receiver, you could draft a wide receiver in round two, or you could trade a second round pick for Juwan Jennings and give him an extension. Like, I'll just draft a wide receiver.
And I think the Niners knew that when they tendered him at the second round spot.
He did the same thing with Kendrick Bourne 4 years ago, kept him for one more year, and then he left as an unrestricted free agent.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I think they should do with Juwan Jennings, by the way. You don't need to sign that guy to a big contract. No, no, no.
You'll get a comp pick for him in a year when he leaves, which is fine. You won't get a second round pick, but you might get a third or fourth or a fifth.
Matt McCune is back. He says the Lions retooled their secondary. Watch out. I refuse to worry about the Lions as long as they have Jared Goff as their quarterback. I'm just not going to worry about him ever.
That's fair.
I mean, they had a massive lead in the NFC Championship game and they gacked it all up. And I know some of it was drops and it wasn't Jared Goff's fault, but some of it was Jared Goff's fault. So I'm not worried about the line. There are other teams in the NFC that are worrying me. The Rams, for one. The Packers, I think, are going to be much better. They're definitely another team in the NFC that worries me a little bit. The Falcons with Kirk Cousins are not going to be a bad offense. I'm not saying they could beat the 49ers, but they're winning that division.
See, that's where you lost me. You took a hard line with Jared Goff, but then you came back to Kirk Cousins. Like,
Kirk Cousins is better than Jared Goff.
No, he's not.
He absolutely
is. No, he's not. He absolutely isn't.
Kirk Cousins is better than people give him credit for. Every year, he puts up 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns.
So does Goff.
Every year?
Yes. Except for a couple of years on the Rams, he's back. Hold on. This is worth talking about. They're the same person, except one's younger and doesn't have a surgically repaired Achilles. Jared Goff last year threw for 4,500 yards.
That's a lot of yards.
30 touchdowns and 12 picks. Freaking Kirk Cousins.
Well, don't forget Kirk got hurt last year. Kirk was balling out last year before he got hurt. He was leading the NFL in yards and touchdowns. I think Kirk gets disrespected. I really
Kirk plays
do.
With Justin Jefferson, no.
So?
They're the same. They're literally the same quarterback. Like, I think Jared Goff is a clone of Kirk Cousins. He was cloned.
They're a lot closer than I thought, I'll say that. I did not realize Goff had some of the numbers. He's got a couple of real, some of those McVay years, man.
Ooh. Yeah. I'm telling you.
He doesn't quite have the same touchdowns as Kirk has, though. He's got... Okay. Goff has two seasons of 30 touchdowns in his career.
Goff's won four playoff games. Kirk's won how many?
One, I think.
One.
Yeah, that's not all a function.
Kirk's going to go down as the highest paid football player of all time, and that's incredible.
Well,
I don't know how he did that.
A massive contract from Atlanta coming off an Achilles. That's the thing, too. Like, if I were Brock Purdy, like, Kirk Cousins showed you the way to quarterback contract Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Enshrinement. You play out your contract. You play through the franchise tags and you hit the open market. That's how you do it. That's how he's gotten all this money, because he's always on the damn open market. If I were Brock Purdy, that's what I would do. you have to take the risk, but also, like, is it a risk? Kirk Cousins is coming off.
Don't sign the extension.
Massive money. Dak Prescott got hurt before he signed his massive extension. Didn't hurt him. Hell, even Alex Smith had one of the grisliest injuries of all time. It didn't end his career. He came back after that. So if I was Brock, follow the Kirk method.
Yeah, because, I mean, whatever the Niners offer Brock next year is going to be something that they feel is mutually beneficial, something that gives the Niners some sort of break. Hey, we'll give you this extension now because you haven't gotten paid, but it's going to be in our interest too. And if Brock wants to be like Kirk and squeeze out every penny of potential earning power from his profession, from his career, then just say, no, it's okay. I'm in no rush. Mm-hmm. I'll be here a long time. I'll play out my contract. That's cool. We're all good. I'll play out the fourth year. And then you'll either give me a fully guaranteed contract or you'll give me a franchise tag and I'll be good either way. So we're good. Don't even talk.
The difference is, of course, Kirk was, I think, what was the Kirk, a fourth round pick? Mm-hmm. And Brock was the seventh round pick. So Kirk had a little more money than Brock Purdy.
Well, Brock has a roommate. So he's got good. He's good.
He's safe. And he got that endorsement deal. And shout out to Brock, by the way, just got married. Congratulations.
Congrats.
And congrats to Fred Warner welcoming baby boy into the Bo Warner. That's a good name.
B-O or B-E-A-U?
B-E-A-U.
Okay. I thought it might have been named after Bo Jackson, but they weren't French.
Classy Bo.
Classy Bo. if I had been a girl, my parents were going to name me Margot, which is like a kind of, I'm glad I wasn't a girl. It's kind of, I'm nothing against the name Margot, but it's like, I can't even spell that.
I don't like, M-A-R, silent T's.
Silent T, like I'm not French. What?
That's no good.
Pardon?
All right, so before we wrap up, Mike Silver says the Niners aren't done. If you had to make a prediction, do you think the Niners aren't done means they make a one more addition to the defense or they make a move affecting the offensive side of the ball?
They're going to trade Brandon Ayuk.
Mm.
I don't know. It seems like that's what Silver keeps hinting at. Like, hey, they might do something big. Hey,
you're right.
They're not really sure about paying Brandon. Like, hint, hint. Is that not what that's what I'm picking up. Maybe I'm wrong.
I would agree with you. I think that the breadcrumbs are certainly there. Whether or not people want to look at them and acknowledge them is up to them. But again, don't be shocked by anything that happens with this. They're never boring, Grant. No. They are never boring.
No. And again, maybe the Niners feel like, I don't want to pay him this much. We open to trading him. Doesn't mean there's a team that would be willing to trade the Niners the 20th pick in the draft for him. Maybe other teams are like, you know what? It's a great year for wide receivers, and this guy really is expensive. But maybe we'll just draft the guy. So the Niners might be stuck with each other. Wouldn't that be nice?
Andre says, Silver saying that means Kyle's going to bring in another kicker.
Yeah.
Poor
they
got to
replace
Moody,
Charlie Warner with as their backup tight end. So wait, watch out.
Jake Moody has done. Jake Moody didn't draft himself, right? Jake Moody made the longest kick in Super Bowl history at the time when it was made. And then he made the go-ahead kick under 2 minutes left in the Super Bowl. And that guy's still going to get dragged. That guy.
You missed an extra point. People don't forget. Sorry. I'm so sorry. People don't forget. That's all I remember. I didn't even know that those things happened.
Right.
You missed an extra point. That's all I can remember. Slow motion, hitting both guys' hands. Like, not just one pair. Like, it was like multiple hands hit the ball. It was terrible.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Jake. People don't forget.
I'm just now, like, getting over the Super Bowl. Just now. And it's still not even, like, all the way.
You've come a long way. I can see it. As someone who sees you once a week, you've come so far. I'm really proud of you.
Yeah, I'm making progress. We're working through it here. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody. Like and subscribe to the Gold Standard Network and Grant Cohn's YouTube channel. If you hit the little bell, you'll get notified every single time we go live. And look, especially this week, you do not want to miss these shows because stuff, as we've shown today with breaking news, stuff is always happening. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody. We'll talk next week.